Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today's guest has not built just one, but eight businesses with his wife, Tabitha, exiting four along the way and continuing to serve a highly focused niche with clarity and purpose. He's David Forrester, and he's the founder and COO of Defined Frameworks, a company that provides fractional COO and operations consulting services to home service business owners, especially those scaling past $2 million to $5 million in revenue. With over 20 years of experience building, systematizing, and exiting companies, David is the go-to expert for leaders who want to escape operational chaos and build a business that works for them. He and Tabitha have created a powerful model for growing a family-run business while staying grounded in what matters most: family, clarity, and legacy. David, thanks so much for being here. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's just jump in. Let's start at the beginning. Yeah. What inspired you and Tabitha to start your first business together? And how did that journey lead to the creation of Defined Frameworks? I know that's a big question, so break that down any way you wish.
There's a whole lot of detail in between there. Yeah, the first business that we started together was my third. So we've done eight together, but I wouldn't necessarily measure too much on the ones I did before that, because like in my teen years and the doing landscape work around with neighbors and stuff like that turned into a little bit more and whatever. I was a solopreneur on that stuff. But when we started the first one together, she likes to say she's my anchor and I'm the kite. She used to feel bad about saying that, but man, we need it. It was a pressure point for her. Like, it was just this, she's not a risk taker, none of that stuff. And I was like, hey, we're just getting married. We literally launched that business 3 weeks before our wedding. So wow. I'm a genius, right? No, she helped me sign on some paperwork for a truck and stuff like that. So even with her maiden name, she's co-signing on stuff. And I'm like, hey, let's go. Let's rock and roll. She trusted me and loved me from day one, at least. That I had that going for me. But that's where it started. We started a landscape business. Just to squeeze this into a tighter story for you, we built that one for about 4 years. And then I woke up one day in the middle of the winter when we were hoping for snow, but we weren't getting any. And I woke up and I had a dream that I was supposed to sell the business. And I was like, what does that even look like? So I went to her and I said, hey, a couple of days ago, this is what I had a dream of, blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, thank God. Like, I was like, what is that supposed to mean? And she said, I've been miserable. I've been praying about this and wow. I just didn't know how to bring it up. So I just told God he was going to have to tell you. So apparently she sent God to give me a dream. So we sold that business. There's a longer story that we won't go into, but it was the best thing we ever did for our marriage. And that brought us closer together, more unity, more trust. The fact that I was willing to take that step meant a lot to her. And it meant a lot to me that she was that open with me. So we were thriving at that time was the weird part. Like, we were growing. We had a great team of guys. I was doing sales and operations and she was running the office and admin stuff. And I think I saw it. I knew she was miserable, but was avoiding it. I didn't know how to fix it. From there, we built a few more businesses in logistics and retail, another landscape business, just a lot more trust and partnership along the way and staying in our lanes. And then found that we ran into a lot of other business owners along the way that we built relationship with that didn't have that opportunity that we had to reset in their career together. And that's where Defined Frameworks came from, is we just have a huge passion to help other business owners understand that freedom doesn't have to be on Instagram. It is what you make it. It's whatever your business gives you freedom and whatever you're looking for, whatever you love doing, it's your definition. So we just love helping business owners find that and build the right systems to allow that to come to reality.
Wow. Wow. So that's pretty cool. So yeah.
I tried to squeeze it in tight. I'm sorry.
You did a good job. I appreciate that. So you must certainly probably learned a lot of lessons along the way.
Yeah.
By launching 8, successfully exiting 4. If you do a look back, David, what's something that you wish you knew sooner that you've discovered later, but you wish you knew sooner?
Let go. Like, you don't have to control everything, delegate, build systems that allow you to have control, but not be controlling. Excuse me. I wish I would have understood proper delegation at a younger age, but we learn.
Why? We see that a lot, especially in the family business, this idea of letting go, especially letting go to maybe some non-family members sometimes, because right. There's obviously sometimes a trust factor that's a little different. Why do you, I mean, what happens when you do successfully let go? What does that enable that owner to do?
Yeah, it allows you to really focus on the things that are more valuable to you. The things that tied me to not letting go, I used to think, this is my name on, this is our family name on this, right? So I can't just let anybody take the keys to the Corvette and go bang it up. It's like, I got to make sure that our reputation stays intact. And that was the hardest part of letting go. But once I realized, if I actually get clear on the how and the why with my team, they're not actually trying to do anything wrong. They want to do well. They want to succeed in their own role. So mm-hmm. if I give them a clear role description and a great set of processes that are just simple and easy to understand, then I can step back and actually spend more time either with my family or working on a part of the business that I find more fulfillment in or whatever that is. And then you bring a whole lot more joy to the day and your team has a lot more joy serving.
Well said. Yeah. And some things you said have resonated on a personal level. When I had twins 20 years ago, I had a Corvette that I had to unfortunately let go of. But to a worthy cause. Yeah.
You say twins, that's a season right there. Whether it's twins or just one, we just had our little girl 2 years ago. And so that threw a whole new dynamic that we'd never had. We didn't know we could. And so it was a blessing to be able to have her. But all along, we were just building business as our legacy. And that's part of why we're doing what we were doing. So it's even more valuable to build that stuff and be able to be helpful and present as a dad too.
And that creates a whole nother level of challenge and opportunity, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Congratulations, by the way, on the newest family member in the Forster family.
Appreciate it.
So getting back to defined frameworks. Okay. So fairly specialized, right? Servicing home service businesses and those that are looking to scale past a certain mark in that kind of 2 to 5 million range. Yeah. Why did you choose that focus and what makes that particular segment so meaningful to you, Tabitha?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm and being in the service trades for so many years, I'm really just a contractor at heart. And so that's where I love spending my time. And I know it like the back of my hand. I've just been doing it for so long that I know most of the ins and outs of it. So I know where the struggles are going to pop up. And in that once you get past a million, you can probably get there by like just grit and sheer strength, right? But once you get to that 2 to 5 range, that's when things just start imploding and burning and the overwhelm starts in and really that stress starts to express itself outside of the business and at home and in relationships and just in your own health. You've avoided so much stuff this just to push to get to that point. If you don't have systems in place yet, it's going to really start to impact just long-term viability. Mm-hmm. And some of our exits were based on my overwhelm, just not looking at it the right way. And when you're in it, you can't really see that sometimes. And so that's where I saw the most pressure if you don't have the right guidance.
Yeah. And I would say that from 1 to 2, things have changed. Circumstances have changed. The business has changed. And if you're still trying to operate as you are 1 million in the owner, especially if it's an owner operator in their mind, I've got to do double the work myself.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's not a winning proposition and certainly no way to get from 2 to 5, let alone 2 to 2.2. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. The implementation of the systems, but also team, and yeah. the organization starts to become more needed and real than a collection of people doing stuff.
Yeah.
I guess that's really where defined framework steps in and starts to help navigate that transition.
And some of the first steps that we love taking is, and where the name actually came from, defined frameworks, is I believe every owner and every leader has a framework that they operate by. It's the way you think, right? So it's the questions you ask when you approach an obstacle in your day, whatever. And so defining that and putting it like out on paper and actually thinking it through. Oh, how do I actually think through this? What questions do I ask myself? Why am I doing this? Most of us don't do that. We just try to train into a process that's like a template book thing that doesn't think through that.
Mm.
And so when you get your defined framework exited onto a document, you can really start training your team how to think like you. And then that's when it starts to get fun, is because it's a really simple process, but it's just not thought of often in that way. And so you start to clone yourself with some of that stuff. It's fun.
And needed, based on my understanding and exposure to the greater construction, engineering, and trades industry. You see we're in a period where a lot of veterans are aging out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not a ton of young people there looking to fill those seats. It's starting to change.
It's starting to swing. Yep.
It's starting to. Thankfully, they're realizing, wow, gosh, I can make a heck of a lot of money doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
More so than maybe a desk job.
And they're starting to see the fulfillment.
Yeah.
You know, like when you build something with your hands and you see all those jokes about the dad that drives down the street and points it for his son. I built that house, or I did that project, or that sticks with you. That pride of, I still go by projects and see plants that are growing from 15 years, 20 years ago that I'm like, oh, wow, that looks cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So you started to talk a little bit about getting back to you and Tabitha and that dynamic. It's sometimes tricky in a family and husband and wife team. That's a family business, but to define roles. And you even mentioned in your intake, one of the biggest challenges was clarifying who sits in what seat.
Yeah.
How did you work through that? Was that fairly organic, or did you actually formally sit down and say, here's what I'm going to do, here's what I think you're best suited to do, Tabitha, or vice versa? How did that work?
Yeah, I'd say we started out organic, but that kind of turned into a nice organic pile of compost. I'm just trying to let it happen. We'll figure it out along the way. And the mistake we made was thinking that we thought the same. We're obviously two different people and we balance each other very well. So we think completely opposite a lot of times. So thinking that I would let the team know that she has authority and that would be enough, like, for them to understand who they go to what for. And it was not. And so that's where it got messy for us, was they would come to her for a question and we talk enough that she would think that she had the right answer. And so she would try to help just to keep the weight off my shoulders of another question. And it would be probably like the exact opposite of what I probably would have said. And she just didn't have the experience in that area to give the right, but she was trying so hard just to be helpful, and vice versa. I would think, I'll just give this answer real quick. I can figure anything out. And I would give an answer about something that was admin related. And it just got really messy. So we sat down and we said, okay, we really need to clarify to the team and to everybody, who do you go to what for? We're both owners, and we're 50-50 owners in the business. So we both have authority, but one of us had to take the ultimate decision-making spot as a CEO of the business. And then departmentally, how did that split out to, okay, who do you go to about payroll and hours and HR stuff and admin turning in papers? I don't want to deal with that. I was dealing with all this stuff, right? So go to her. And then on the day-to-day, like, how do I do something, or this customer or that kind of thing, hey, bring that to David. And it really helped when we got that clear. We sat down and made it clear and wrote it down, just like with our operating agreement. Just, we're married, we love each other, we're not going anywhere, we're not going to fire each other, but we still put it on paper just so that it was thought through from a more intentional perspective, so that when you get in the messy parts, you have something to point back at and you're not making emotional decisions.
Okay. So for all those husband wife teams out there listening, remember, think it through, write it down, and let the team know. Because a lot of times that doesn't happen, David.
I know it. And we went so many years without it that operating on both sides of it, seeing the value of just when there's no high emotions, when there's no trouble, there's no obstacle, there's no struggle that you're trying to fight through and figure out, just sit down and go, okay, if this was a perfect world, what does this look like? Let's structure this out.
I like that.
Yeah.
Part of what you do in Define Frameworks is really, I think, liberating the business owner from some of the chaos of operations so that they can start to function as an effective business leader and scale and grow the organization. We were talking a little bit about one of the challenges of teaching them to learn to let go and to enable the team. Yeah. What are some of the other, or maybe another bottleneck that you see oftentimes that you have to help them work through? Something that kind of is constricting that forward growth.
Slowing down to actually put this stuff in place.
Okay.
It's, I think a lot of owners, especially in the trades, we started out as a technician that was really good, right? And so you knew how to problem solve. You were pretty good with customers, right? And that's, so you thought, I'm going to go do my own thing. And Michael Gerber and the E-Myth would maybe call it an entrepreneurial seizure. A technician had an entrepreneurial seizure, boom, there's a business. And like, oh no, you get into the management side of it and it's now what? But I think on the other side of it too, the entrepreneur is the true visionary and creative side that also doesn't like the management side and just has all these great ideas in the shower every day. So I think a lot of that happens because we're a great technician and we have that entrepreneurial spirit and that creativity to see a better way than the business maybe we were working in or working for. And both of those entities dislike the management side, right? Mm-hmm. So that's slowing down. It's, I want to get stuff done and I got a great idea to go build, but we got to slow down and build some structure around it for either one of those things to be long-term. And so that's, I think where that struggle comes from is big vision and knowing how to do the tactical. And there's like that in between that just gets lost. And that's where we fill the gap is if you're familiar with EOS, I'm a visionary integrator, like pretty level on both.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I can translate visionary into day-to-day process. And I actually really enjoy like building systems and making them efficient and the day-to-day stuff, which usually visionaries just want to pull their hair out. I have a blast helping visionaries translate their big vision into something that's practical.
I was going to bring up some EOS vernacular. As I was listening to you kind of talk about your role, Tabitha's role, it sounded a bit like a visionary to integrator, but I didn't want to be presumptuous.
Yeah, that's exactly how she and I would operate. She's much more integrator than visionary. So I would take that seat, but we would really collaborate on like, how does the day-to-day have to happen? And she could really clean it up on the, like, she could take my integrator to the next level as far as like orderliness and make just the day-to-day operations of it. But the vision to build the systems, she didn't necessarily love. So that was fun to collaborate.
And having the balance is incredibly valuable because most visionaries in the classic EOS sense make integrators crazy. They keep coming up with new stuff and integrators like, I'm still working on the old stuff from last week or last month. And you're spinning up new ideas. So where are they going to go? That's pretty cool that you can bring some of that down to a, you know, to an operational level, which is, I would say, probably bodes well for both your business relationship. And then let's talk for a moment about the personal relationship. So she's your business partner. She's also your spouse, right? Mm. The two of you balance that.
It was definitely learned, especially in that first business, right? I was the guy sitting on the couch at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, still emailing customers and putting bids together and doing all that stuff. I thought we were sitting on the couch together. So that was good quality time, right? That was an early mistake. So that's where some of that miserable part came from is we got married and started the business at the same time. And so she really never got like a honeymoon or like a newlywed season of like us just loving each other and spending time together. I was like, let's build this thing as hard and fast as possible so that we can get free, quote unquote. And so we learned from that. That was the first 3 or 4 years of our marriage. And once we stepped out of that and took a little bit of time to figure out the next steps, really just focused on communication. And once we, it isn't perfect. We've been married 17 years, been building business the whole time. We're not perfect by any means, but and we've heard it a million times everywhere. Communication is the key. Communication, communicate, whatever. But it is over communication has been the key for us. We just are very open with each other, and we've learned when to table it and bring it up when the emotions aren't there, and be very logical about it when it comes to the business side of things, so that we can, and we've just always set our value. It's family comes first, and we are building business for family. It's our only livelihood together, right? But making sure that that separation is there when it comes to the heavier communication, and being open and honest, and this is how I'm feeling, this is where I'm at. Yeah.
So another takeaway for those husband wife team listeners, yeah, it's okay to table it and re-engage.
Yeah, I recommend it. We don't have to finish it right now.
That's right. It's okay to do that. Yeah. Hope you heard that. You said something just now, and it also resonated with something that you noted in your intake before we spoke, which was you build your business to provide for your family. Don't limit that to money. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah. So I used to be, I was the youngest. And so I think people always used to tell me I was spoiled because I was the youngest, just by nature or whatever.
By how many years?
My nearest sibling, my brother's 4 years older than me.
Okay.
And there's a big stretch for us too. I have a brother that's 16 years older than me too. But I was always told you better be a doctor or a lawyer because you tend to like nice things. I raced motocross. I had dirt bikes and stuff. So I did.
Okay.
I didn't do much, but what I did do, it was a little bit more expensive than standard sports or whatever. And so that always just set my mind on success is being able to afford my hobbies and the nice things that I want, cars and houses and vacations or whatever. I saw that as what success was. And freedom was being able to go do all that stuff at my beck and call whenever I wanted to. Then when we got married and long-term, we didn't think we were going to have kids, but now that we do, it's the freedom that I enjoy is the choice, right? It's not necessarily just financial. It's time. It's stewarding everything, stewarding our team, leading our team, all the relationships that come into our lives, whether they're customers or they're team members or they're vendors. Like we build all of that as if it's been given to us for a reason. And that's something that we're supposed to steward. And yeah, so yeah, that's a big part of it. I think hopefully that answers what you're asking.
I think it does. It basically what I heard was kind of living for a bigger vision, a bigger purpose than the dollars and cents. And when you do that and you do that, usually the dollars and cents seem to find their way.
You get too stuck on the dollars and cents too. I've done it before where, you know, once when your focus shifts to just the money side of it, some of the other stuff falls apart and then the money falls apart.
Yeah.
Like we've been through seasons like that as well. And so
and certainly as you're engaging with business leaders that are in that maybe 1 million up, heading up to that too, it's not uncommon for the top executive or the owner to also be the top business development executive.
Yeah.
They are keenly watching the numbers and driving the numbers. So yeah. Sometimes that's hard to disengage from.
Yeah.
And to say, all right, there's a bigger reason why we're doing this. That's just easier said than done, but
yeah,
you know, that's why you and Tabitha are there, maybe to help them reset.
There you go.
Speaking of a competitive space that you're in, the entities that are out there looking to help other businesses grow and scale, you've obviously defined something of a niche that you're playing in, but how do you differentiate the Define Frameworks brand? How do you set yourself apart from others?
Yeah. And just to be completely open and honest with you, I was nervous about really making an effort and a more of a full-time capacity of this being a real business. I've helped other business owners that I'm connected with and figuring some things out along the way. But when we stepped into this as something that was viable and real, it's a competitive space and it made me a little nervous. But what I realized was like, I've been doing this, like I'm just one of the guys, one of the girl, what I mean, one of the business owners, just one of the community that I've been in the trenches for over two decades doing this thing, making mistakes, bloodying my knuckles, banging my head against the wall. And I'm not just a consultant that decided, hey, this home service space is looking pretty good right now. Private equity is looking in here. Maybe I should get in on this and see how I can turn some knobs or something. Like, no, I just absolutely love building things and problem solving. And I love seeing when that light bulb comes on and things click and things really start gaining momentum for somebody to start achieving what they always wanted to, but they started hitting that ceiling and thinking it maybe wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
And I would think that in the niche that you've defined, having walked in those shoes gives you tremendous credibility. And I would even hazard to say that they won't let you through the door without that. Yeah. Wait a minute. You've never worked in my business. Get out of here. You've walked the walk. You've literally sat on their side of the table, walked their shoes, and can talk to them in maybe a different way than an outside consultant could.
And I was even nervous about home services is pretty broad. There's plumbing and HVAC and roofing and landscaping. And even within landscaping, there's all the things that you could be doing, whether it's design build or hardscape or lawn care and mowing or what it is. And you know, what I've found though, is that there's a respect for being willing to put on the tool belt and get out there. And so even if I haven't been a plumber, I haven't owned a plumbing company, I understand the basics of plumbing, but I'm not coming in to teach you how to do your trade. I'm just partnering to help get things organized and make things run smoothly. And so there's still that respect there that I found among all of the trades, knowing that you at least cut your teeth on something real.
For sure. Another question came to mind because you were talking a little bit about building systems and processes and creating more of an organized organization for these entities as they look to grow and scale. AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming a larger part of how all industries and all companies operate. And I'm just curious, is AI showing up in your practice and the clients you're supporting at this point?
Yeah. And it better be, in my opinion. I was a little bit of a resistant to all that stuff in the beginning. And it's still very early, obviously. There's still a lot of room to grow and there's some frustration points with a lot of it. And there's a ton of now noise out there on all these different apps that do different things and which one should I use? But learning how to utilize each one to its best and then cross-pollinate with the different abilities has been huge. And I was actually afraid of it for a little while, was it going to replace me? Right? You can jump on ChatGPT and pop out an SOP in about 3.5 minutes if you know what prompt to put in there and probably pretty decent.
Yeah.
That still doesn't change the fact that you want to bang your head against a wall thinking about SOPs. You still have to review the SOP and make sure it's right. And if you don't understand them, then you're just trusting GPT did it. And okay, hey, somebody go fulfill this SOP thing. But it's been a huge lever for us to be able to utilize it, not just to sharpen our edge and competitive against it, but also to get a lot more done for our clients a lot faster. Mm-hmm. What we can do in 30 days compared to what we would have had to do before, mostly on the production of just getting the documents together and how to make things tie together has been impressive. I'm having a lot of fun learning it.
Yeah. I think we're in the same camp and I think are probably aligned in its use where it's really, where I see it as a hybrid. There still needs to be some human intervention, some human prompting, and some human refinement and judgment, let's say. But it can certainly be a great collaborator.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Looking ahead for a moment, what's going on now for you and Tabitha that's exciting, either in the business, the industry? What's exciting you about the near term?
Seeing the light bulbs come on. That's what's been really fun right now, is seeing when we talk through the simplicity of what we're building. And seeing business owners that have been so overwhelmed thinking about, I know I need systems, but I don't have time. I don't have time to slow down. If you're not a systems person, you don't like thinking about it. It just seems like this huge, overwhelming task that has to happen. And it needs to, but you're just putting it off and hoping you never have to really, let's just get enough money coming in. I can pay somebody else to do it. And it's really just how you eat an elephant. It's just one bite at a time. There's some really simple steps you can take for your core stuff. And we've really bottled that all down into just a very simple top 5 to 10 that we need to focus on. And then from there, it's a living document. It's nothing to be afraid of. So seeing that pressure come off, and when that comes off, their ability to focus as the visionary and the leader that they need to be is like unleashed, and that's what they're supposed to be doing anyway. So that's been
That's
fun.
awesome. That's awesome. Last question. If one of our listeners wanted to learn more about you or the work that you and Tabitha are doing as part of Defined Frameworks, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, our website is dfscales.com, Defined Frameworks, DF. And then you can email me at df@dfscales.com. And other than that, Facebook and LinkedIn, look up David Forster. Should be pretty easy to find me on there, and happy to connect. And we can even schedule a strategy call if you want to see how easy a template is to put together. I'm happy to do either a decision framework or build an SOP together real quick for something simple that you can put in place today and get rocking and rolling.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. David, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your journey with you and Tabitha.
Yeah.
Certainly wish you the very best with the new little, not so new little one, young one now. Again, we've been speaking with David Forster, COO and founder of Defined Frameworks, a company helping home service business owners take control of their operations and scale with clarity. And I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Growing Up B2B, and we'll see you next time. David, thank you again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.